But if you can turn with me in God's Word to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 41, we are going through the life of Joseph. And today we're coming, as we've traced the life of Joseph, to Joseph preparing to meet the king. And so we want to minister, believe there's a lesson there to our own hearts in preparing to meet the king. And so we come to meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But Genesis chapter 41, we'll just take a reading from verse 8 down to verse 14. But it is verse 14 that I want to minister on today. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me inward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream did he interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself, and changed his raiment, and came in on to Pharaoh. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. From the time the chief butler was restored to office, and Pharaoh dreamed a dream, about 2 years have passed. And don't forget, we'll go back and forth in the story over the next number of weeks, because there's many more lessons to learn. And so we'll keep going back and forward. But God used Pharaoh's dreams and the need for interpretation to remind the butler that he had forgotten Joseph, who was still in prison. We looked at this last week. Verse 14, whenever Pharaoh heard of Joseph, he sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself, changed his raiment, and came on to Pharaoh. That verse 14, we look at the first half of the verse. Joseph was delivered from prison. He had been confined, that is, bound to prison. And then he was called by the king, a call that came with authority. And then he was clothed in the new garments provided. And briefly, what a gospel picture that is. Because by nature, we were all sinners confined to sin's horrible pit. There was no way of escape until the King of Glory called us with that voice with power, that voice with authority. And he brought us out of sin's prison and clothed us in new garments, garments that had been provided. And therefore we can say that Jesus Christ is our righteousness. We've been clothed in the garments of salvation. But also, in reading these words, we may think of the typology and the symbolism. We may think by reading the rest of verse 14 where it says, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. We may think that those details have no real significance. And really, if it's truth be told, whenever we read this portion of scripture, maybe in our own house, we just bypass it quickly. He shaved himself, move on, and to the next verse. We may only think of it as a gap filler. But please remember, this is God's word. And there are no gap fillers. Everything recorded in God's word is there for our instruction. And especially in the Old Testament, a lot of things that are taught to teach symbolism. Object lessons to teach spiritual truth, lessons to be learned. And so we need the Holy Spirit to open our understanding and to cause us to see and to understand the truth that is already there. We're not looking for anything new. Rather, we're looking for what's already in the Word of God to be made shown to us. Joseph will stand before an earthly ruler, the king of Egypt, who at that time had all power, authority, and possessions. Joseph has an audience with the king in his own house. However, in order to meet the king, Joseph made certain preparations in order to stand in the king's presence. Such preparations were taken to ensure that Pharaoh, as king of Egypt, was reverenced as the king, the law of the land. And therefore, men and women, there are lessons for us today, because every time we come into the Lord's presence, and especially as we're thinking about a public situation, we come into the presence, we would say, we have an audience with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Just as King Pharaoh called Joseph from prison for the purpose to meet with him, so the King, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, called us out of sin's prison in order to meet with us. His purpose is to fellowship with his people, to have a word for them. And so there's preparations we must make whenever we enter in to the sovereign ruler, the presence of the King of Glory. And so there is this symbolism, this typology that we can learn as Joseph enters in to the presence of an earthly monarch, as we come into the presence of our heavenly monarch. Notice Joseph's example. We read, "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon." We looked at those words last week. "And he shaved himself." According to historical studies and Bible commentaries, the Egyptians, or some suggest that the Egyptians were a clean-shaven people. In fact, some will suggest that the Egyptian men shaved their whole body. And the reason why they did this was to set them apart from other nations. It's interesting to note that later, whenever Joseph's brethren, they stand before him, they don't even recognize him. They don't even resemble, he doesn't even resemble the Joseph that they knew. Of course, we know from whenever Joseph's brethren put him in that pit, years have passed. Obviously, Joseph is a lot older. And of course, they weren't even looking for him. In their minds, maybe Joseph could have been dead. But as they stand before Joseph, in Genesis 42, verse 8, Joseph knew his brethren. He recognized them straight away. But we read, "But they knew not him." They couldn't even see the one they were standing before was their brother. Everything about Joseph had changed. His language. He shaved himself. He was able to speak Egyptian. Genesis 42, verse 23, "He spake unto them by an interpreter." So facially, Joseph was different. He shaved himself. Keep in mind, Joseph has just come out of prison. He's been in prison for many, many years. And so he would need to be washed. And to shave himself would also include cleansing, to wash himself, to apply water to the body. In other words, Joseph cleaned himself up, or cleansed himself, to meet the king, to meet Pharaoh. In this sense, Joseph leads by example for all believers in preparing to meet our eternal King. Because as Joseph enters into Pharaoh's presence, he does so to honor Pharaoh. He shows reverence to the king. King Pharaoh, remember, he is a pagan man. He is an ungodly man. Yet Joseph knows the custom of the land. He knows the the Egyptian way of life. And therefore, to enter into his presence, he shaves himself. Not to shave would be to dishonor and displease and disrespect the king, provoke his wrath, cause offense, and have Pharaoh's refusal. It would also discredit Joseph's godly character. Joseph has been called by the king, and he will enter into Pharaoh's presence. And so Joseph shaved himself. Look at those words closely. He shaved himself. No one else shaved Joseph. Rather, it was something he had to do himself in order to meet the king. Here is cleansing. The same thought is used whenever Ruth was to meet Boaz, her kinsman redeemer. Remember Ruth's mother-in-law. She said to Ruth in Ruth chapter 3, verse 3, "Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor." And so here was something Ruth was to do herself. She was to wash herself, put on new raiment in order to meet Boaz, the one who would provide for her, the one who would bring her in to all the good things that he would provide for her. So what an example for our own lives, believer. How can we apply this? Why, some obviously may shave themselves in that literal sense, but there is the spiritual application, thinking of cleansing, thinking of water applied to our bodies, thinking of washing ourselves. And it is to be washed, to be cleansed from the filth of sin. Because whenever Joseph came out of prison, being dusty and dirty, his clothes ruined and all the rest, and needing shaved, he was cleansed. He washed himself. He shaved himself. And so how do we cleanse ourselves? How do we wash ourselves? It is by dwelling in the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the Word." And the whole point is this. Our minds get clouded up with so many things, corruptions and all the impurities of the day, things we look at, things we see, whatever it may be. But the more we're in the Word of God, the Word of God is that cleansing agent. And so when we're in the Word, reading the Bible, our minds are being cleansed daily, our thought life being renewed daily by the Word of God. Again, the Lord prayed in John 17, verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Again, going back to the tabernacle, as we learnt this morning about the brazen altar. Whenever the priest went to the brazen altar, the place of the sacrifice, the animal was examined. The animal's blood was shed. And you can imagine that process, getting the animal, shedding its blood, examining its insides and all the rest. It was a messy job. Blood was everywhere because, as we said this morning, the word altar means slaughter, means to slay. And so you can imagine that, the blood over the hands, the blood on the feet, the pieces of flesh. And so as the priest has gone to the brazen altar, sacrifice that animal that will be presented on to God, what was then to happen? Exodus chapter 30, he was then to go to the next stage, which was the brazen laver. And the brazen laver speaks of cleansing, speaks of washing, where the priest would go to wash his hands and also to wash his feet. That which was unclean, that which was stained by dirt, was to be cleansed. And so Exodus 30, verse 18, "Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet." And so hands, they speak of work, and feet, speak of walking. And so our works and our walks for God need to be cleansed. Why? Because from the brazen altar, then to the brazen laver, then after they went into the presence of God, into within the veil for fellowship. And so every time the priests went into the presence of God, they washed, they cleansed themselves. Because if they didn't, we learn, verse 21, if they wash their hands, if they are to wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And so the priests were to cleanse themselves. They were commanded to do so because to come into the presence of a holy God unclean was for them to suffer death. And so the whole lesson for us is as we serve God, we need to be cleansed in our walk and in our work. We need to have our mind cleansed. Isaiah 52, verse 11. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. So Joseph, as he enters into the king's presence, he shaves himself, all a part of preparation. Otherwise, Pharaoh would not meet with him. To enter into Pharaoh's presence would be a dishonor. Likewise, believer, we must be that example, to have that reverence, that high and holy view, that we're coming into the presence of the Lord. And therefore, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I come into the presence of God with my heart not cleansed, my mind not renewed, the Lord will not meet with me because he is holy and I am sinful. And therefore, I must come into his presence and ask for cleansing in the precious blood. Joseph's example. He comes into Pharaoh's presence. He shaved himself, but signified there was cleansing. Notice secondly, there is exchange, Joseph's exchange. We touched this last week about him, the change of raiment. I noticed in verse 14, as a change of raiment, the word raiment means a covering, means a garment. And so these clothes were provided for him. There was the exchange, the prison garments for new garments, in order to stand before the king. Now, we are not told what garments he wore, but no doubt they were the best clothes given to Joseph by Pharaoh for one who was not in office. So Joseph would have worn what an Egyptian would have worn. And so coming into the king's presence, he was coming into Pharaoh's own house. His raiment, his clothes from jail would have been stained, dusty, dirty, wear and tear. He's been in there for years, and we've looked at that already in previous weeks. But now Joseph has been delivered from prison, so he's no longer a prisoner. And he puts on this new raiment, the clothes that were given to him, what was provided for him. And I suggest what was provided for him was the best to stand before Pharaoh. Now this message, and I want to be clear, is not instructing you in what clothes you wear when attending the house of God to meet the King of Kings. That's between you and the Lord. But I do want to challenge our minds and our hearts and our motivation as why we wear what we wear. What motivates me or causes me to wear what I am wearing? Is it what benefits me, or does it honour the King? By how I come into the Lord's presence on the Lord's day, is it an example to other believers? Would it honour the King? Would I change anything depending on who the preacher was or on what occasion it was? And so there is a principle taught by how we come to God's house, how we come to the presence of our King. It is this: in all things, that Christ will have the preeminence. Will Christ, or does Christ, have the best of me, from us, from you? Does Christ have the best? Have you given him your best? Therefore, as Joseph dresses himself to meet the King of Egypt, there is this lesson of preparation, of coming in to meet with royalty, coming in to meet with the King in his own house. And as I said, I suggest to you that the clothes that Joseph was wearing was the best that was provided for him. Joseph's raiment respected, it honoured King Pharaoh. It did not dishonour him. And so if you follow it through, as Joseph had no issue to look his best for King Pharaoh, then there was no issue to dress his best when meeting King Pharaoh. And so do we do the same when coming to God's house? Now, I understand today in churches this is not a subject people like to hear. And usually when these things are preached on, the outcome is this: well, I'll not see you next week, and I've moved on. And I trust that's not the case, because as I've said to you, I'm not telling you what to wear. I'm saying I want to challenge us in what we are wearing to give our best to the Lord. That's the challenge. And therefore, that's the instruction. I could say a lot of things, but I will not. However, the thing is to give our best to the Lord. And that's what my challenge is to you. And all you do, is it your best? And if it is, that's between you and the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so that's the challenge. When we come in with our dress, is it to honour the King? Let me say something here. Maybe this is one of these things that you regret after, and maybe one of these things that you wanted to say to be a blessing, but maybe it doesn't turn out that way. You ever been in that situation? You've said something, you want it to be a blessing, but somehow it doesn't turn out to be a blessing, and then you get told off after, you're like, oh, this is just, you go back and you hadn't said. Let me just say here, I commend all the young people in this gathering today. A blessing to my heart. And even since I've been here, I've seen many changes in the young people. And I even today, they see the women, the young girls with the head covering, even the dresses. I say that not to embarrass them and not to be told off, but it does show that reverence to the Lord and that encouragement to me. And I trust that will ever be the case. I would hate to see a day, and I say this, I'd hate to see a day in this pulpit where a man comes in to preach with his shorts on, his flippers on, a t-shirt on, because there's places like that. There are places like that. Even preachers, and I hear all the time, comes in with the jeans and with the holes on. Why do I want to wear jeans with holes on? I don't know. But I'm getting off the subject. But the point is, I would hate to be in a day when that would happen in this place. And therefore, the whole point of the message today is what you're wearing today, every week, is it your best? That's what the message is. Is it your best? I tell you this here. When I came to the Lord after a backslidden state, remember I walked into church, digressing here, so forgive me, give me another 2 minutes. I went into the church. Remember I walked in and all these, everybody was well dressed and all the rest. I only had a pair of trousers on and I had my nice check shirt. And back in those days, a fellow would have a check shirt. It was like a good check shirt. Nice one, you know, nice colours and all the rest. I walked in, seeing these people, some men with their ties and all the rest. I stood at the door and thought, I can't go in there. And I thought, I'm not going in that door. Look, they all have suits on. They have shirts and ties and the women all dresses and all the rest. And I feel just underdressed. Remember a missionary came out to me. I'll never forget what she said to me. She said, what are you doing out here? And I just said, the situation. She said, hey, let me ask you this here. What you've got on today, for what you have, is that your best? Can you say to me, you've given your best, that's all you have? I said, well, it is, because it was. And I said, it is. She says, well, go in praise the Lord. Because that's what God requires. Faithfulness. Your best. And so this is what's happening here. It's giving our best. I will say it like this. To come and worship God any less than our best is to dishonor God. To come with any less than our best is to dishonor God. And I suggest to you, the preparation that we make when we meet our King, is it the best for the Lord? Have we taken the time to prayerfully prepare ourselves? Can I ask this here? Do we get our church clothes ready on Saturday or Saturday night? Or is it a rush on Sunday morning? In our home, what we've done with our children throughout the years is on Saturday before we go anywhere, before they do anything, or it depends what happens, whatever, but certainly on Saturday, we teach them the next day is Sunday. The next day is coming to God's house to worship Him. Before you do this or do that, have you got your clothes ready for tomorrow? Are your shoes out? Is your tie ready? Is your suit ready? Whatever you're wearing tomorrow, have you got it ready? Now, whatever that is you're wearing, and again, it's not the point. The principle I'm making here, has there been the preparation? Or is it Sunday morning, running around the place, looking for the socks, looking for whatever it is, and there's this rush and you're coming into God's house in a panic and flustered and all the rest? Has there been that time? And that's how we train them. The next, even when they come in from school, they come in Monday night. Before you go to bed here, is your stuff ready for tomorrow? Because I don't want to be run around, where's my PE kit? Where's this? Where's that? And it's a whole panicking and all this here. It's preparation. Why? Because it teaches them. When you prepare for those things, then it prepares you for coming into the presence of God. Also, it prepares them for life whenever they're coming in for jobs, whenever they're coming in. If I was a job and I had someone coming late in all the time or just whatever, I would tell you I wouldn't be too happy. And so it's all about preparation, giving the best, taking the time. Let me say this here. If I can make preparation in choosing my clothes carefully to look my best for a holiday, a day out, a work event, maybe school uniform, maybe there's a particular work uniform you have to wear, a school uniform you must wear, you present the company, you represent your school because it sets you apart. If you can take time to prepare for that, if you can make effort to prepare for a wedding you have to go to, or for a funeral to show respect, then why should we give Christ, our King, any less? If I can say I have to go to a funeral tomorrow, have I got everything ready? Or it's Sheila and Henry's big day tomorrow, have I got all my stuff ready for tomorrow for this wedding to look my best? How should we give the King of Kings any less? Again, remember John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Mary, not to do with clothes, but again, to give her best. She had this alabaster box. It was costly perfume, and she gave it all to the Lord to use. Now again, she was mocked for doing so. Luke 21, remember the wee widow who didn't have as much money as all the other people, and they held back. But she gave her all, she gave her best. Leviticus chapter 1, as we learnt this morning, remember during the brazen altar, when there was the animal sacrifice, again all typified redemption, all pointing to Christ. When there was the offering to be given to the Lord, Leviticus 1 verses 3 to 9, the offerings could be, as we said, remember, from the lamb, the bullock, the sheep, the goats, the turtle doves, the pigeons, all those five animals could be offered, because some of them represented those who were rich and others represented those who were poor. But here was the point. Whatever was brought was to be the best. Just because the rich were rich, it didn't mean, well, they could get away with bringing something less than their best. And just because the poor were poor didn't mean, well, you know what, I can't do this and just take this here. No, There was provision made for both the rich and the poor, but they were to give their best, the best. And I say to you, that offering was to be offered to God. It was to be without blemish, because it pointed to Christ, who is God's provision, who is God's best. Do you remember that? The offering that God gave upon Calvary for our sin was the best offering. He spared not his own son, but delivered him, the one whom he was well pleased. And so God giving his son to bear the shame of the cross, Christ who stood in our place, who took our sin upon himself. Christ is God's very best. Why? Because any less, we would not have a Saviour. If God did not give a perfect offering, or an offering perfectly to him, there would be no salvation. Because the one who God would give, or the one presented to God as a sacrifice, had to be the best. And so, child of God, here is the lesson. We ought to be giving our best, whatever that is, but giving our best to the Lord. Zechariah, again, you think spiritually. Zechariah, we learn about the filthy garments that are exchanged. Take away the filthy garments and new garments on. And so, spiritually, there's a change of raiment. We have the best raiment, the clothing of the righteousness of Christ. And so I challenge you, believer, this day, and I hope you've got that and it's came through genuine. Have we given our best to the Lord? If you can honestly say, I could give my Saviour better, then always remember this. Them that honour him, he will honour. And you will never lose out with God when you honour him in all things. But if you can say, what I have is my best, then praise the Lord and keep seeking the Lord. Because what Joseph did by his very clothes and his preparation to meet Pharaoh, it was so Pharaoh was not dishonoured. But Pharaoh was still reverenced as the king. Finally and briefly, just a simple thought, because we'll come back to this. Joseph's example, his exchange, notice his entrance. Because at the end, as you notice, all these things are done. You have at the end of verse 14, and came in unto Pharaoh. Notice that. It's not that he came into Pharaoh's presence first and then had to go back out and do all this here stuff. No, all this was done first. Then he came in to Pharaoh's presence. And so there's a wonderful lesson there, all about preparation for coming into the presence of our King, preparing ourselves, giving him our best. Now again, we know the whole story. If they get back onto the story, Pharaoh calls Joseph on to himself. Why? Because Joseph is the only one who can interpret the dream. Joseph's the only one who can meet the need of the day. And so as we think of our Saviour, our greater than Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the only one who can meet us at the point of our need. He is our provider, our sustainer. And so as we come to meet with him, we enter into his presence with that understanding that we come to glorify him. And I trust in this short message this afternoon that as we take Joseph's example, Joseph's exchange and Joseph's entrance, that will even impact our own lives. Even as we come even into God's house, even on Saturdays, to get ourselves prepared, not just with clothes, to have everything organized, whatever it is we're wearing, but also organize how we're coming and spiritually prepare our hearts to meet the King. Because then, whenever Joseph took these preparations, we learn onwards, Pharaoh then spoke with him. Pharaoh then met with him. And so whenever you take those preparations, the Lord will meet with you. People say today, Well, I come to church, boring to school, they sit there, I don't get spoken to. I asked, have you made the preparation? Have you given the Lord your best? And may God write his word upon our heart for his name's sake. Amen.